Let's bring in now a longtime NHL coach, current coach of the Vegas Golden Knights, and now just recently named assistant coach to Team Canada when they run to the Olympics. Pete DeBoer. Pete, thanks for taking some time out of your summer for joining us today.
Hey, Jason, anytime.
Good. Well, I hate to start this interview on a bad note, but I want to take you back to, I believe it was 1994-95, and someone else cued me in that you're the coach or assistant coach at that time of the Detroit Junior Wings, and on my countless Blazers met your team, and we were able to beat you in the final. But talk about a coaching staff between you, Greg Stephan, and Paul Maurice. I mean, oh, it's a good thing you guys couldn't play hockey against us. You would have beat us for sure.
Well, you know what? I still have nightmares about that game, Jason. I think the opening line was Tucker, Ginla, and Doan. And,
yeah.
And then to pour salt on the wound, what I remember about Jason Strudwick was you guys were beating us about 7-2, and then Ginla beat up one of our forwards, and you proceeded to beat up one of our guys, and then that wasn't good enough, and then. From what I heard, it went back in the hallway and beat him up again behind by the dressing room. So it was a long night for me and Paul Maurice and the Junior Red Wings that night.
Yeah, just amazing. It's funny. What I love to do, I go back and see where everyone went. And I'm doing that more with guys I played and now where they're going, like, coaching-wise, right? And so I looked at your time, and, you know, you were there with that group and then quickly became the head coach after Paul moved on. And then a long run in the OHL. You know, after those years with Kitchener and Plymouth, you know, how did you know that or the timing was right for you now to jump to what was your first job in the NHL with Florida?
Yeah, it's a great question, and you know, I get that asked a lot at coaching clinics. Young coaches, guys that played for me that are trying to get into coaching. I don't know if you ever feel totally comfortable jumping behind an NHL bench. I think you have to experience it to do it. But I knew a couple things. I knew I wanted to take my time and enjoy the junior level, and I loved every minute of it. Won a Memorial Cup, went to a couple others. At the junior level, you really can have an impact on those kids and players' lives, much more than at the NHL level. There's just a different type of reward for the impact you can make. You know, the other thing I did was because I enjoyed junior so much and I ran my own bench and was GM at all the spots I was at. I wasn't too big on getting to the American League. I played in the minors as a player, and I thought, you know, I would wait for an opportunity to go directly to the NHL if someone wanted me. It doesn't happen very often, but Brent Sutter kind of paved the way for us at that time and jumped right from Red Deer to New Jersey, and I got an opportunity with Florida finally after I think about 15 years in junior hockey, and you know, a few stops since then, but it's been a great ride.
I'm joined by Pete DeBoer, a longtime NHL coach, currently the coach of the Vegas Golden Knights. Pete, I got to tell you, I'm not a huge poker player, but if I was, I would not want to play against you because your demeanor on the bench, I cannot tell if you guys are winning, losing, if you're mad, if you're upset. Where did you create this look? Because you were right up there with like Daniel Negreanu as far as poker face on an NHL bench.
You know what? It's funny, but I've got three kids. And I made the mistake a few times of losing my marbles on the bench. I got into it once with Tortorella at Madison Square Garden. Okay. And a couple other things. And every time it happened, the camera caught me in some pretty unflattering situations. And I'd go home and my kids would go up and down me about how embarrassed they were and what was going on. So, what I found over the years is that it's really not going to help. You know, yelling at the referees, jumping up and down, screaming on the bench isn't going to help. We deliver some pretty straightforward and harsh and emotional messages, and that emotion pours out usually between periods or in team meetings, but you know, to do it in front of the cameras and on the bench really hasn't served me too well over the years, so I try and avoid it.
Well, congratulations on many things in your career. You've now been named a member of the coaching staff for the Team Canada bid. We hope to be at the Olympics. Well, is this an is there an interview process? Is it like, do you want to go? Yes, I do. Like, how do they do you, become a part of that and know that you're going to be the right, they're including you as the right fit for what the coaching staff's going to look like?
Well, this has been a 25-year interview. I started 25 years ago with my first Team Canada coaching job with the under-18 team. And I'll tell you how far it goes back is Joe Thornton and Patrick Marleau were on that under-18 team as 17-year-olds.
Oh, gotcha.
So, I think what Hockey Canada does is they get coaches in the pipeline, and if you do well and they feel like you have an opportunity to help on future teams, they keep you moving forward. And from there, I got a chance to work on a number of World Junior staffs, a number of World Championship staffs when we missed the playoffs at different points in my NHL run here. Essentially, that's the job interview. Okay. When John Cooper called me and asked me if I was interested, it took me about 2 seconds to to say yes. Anytime Canada calls and Team Canada calls, I've always jumped at the opportunity. One, because it's first class. Two, you get to work with the best players in the world. And probably, the most beneficial thing, and it's a little selfish, but I always come back a better coach. I worked with Ken Hitchcock at a tournament. I worked with Todd McClellan, the list, Dave Tippett, on and on. You always come back better when you get in those situations.
Pete DeBoer joined us, head coach of the Vegas Golden Knights and now part of the Team Canada coaching staff that will be heading over to the Winter Olympics, we hope, in short order. So, that the process, I guess, of trying to build the team is one that is fortunate. There's a lot of players, a lot of good players to choose from. But how does you and your fellow coaches kind of go through the idea of, what it might look like, assuming everyone's healthy and everyone accepts, which is pretty rare they don't. But how do you piece it together? Because there's so many good choices, but not everyone can play on the power play for Team Canada.
Yeah, no, there's some fantastic choices. I think we've got a great management team. Kenny Holland's part of that. Obviously, Doug Armstrong. And those guys have assembled kind of a master list of, probably at least 50 players that are in the mix and are in consideration. And then from there you start, shooting names around, and, some of the coaches have coached, some are on their teams. We have the luxury of watching guys. I don't believe we name the official team until January. So mm-hmm. You'll get a chance to watch guys start the season. And sometimes guys that aren't on that list have great starts and all of a sudden make themselves relevant on that list. So, there's a lot of time. The great thing for Canada is, there's not many bad decisions you can make. There's so many good options. You feel bad for the guys that are going to be left off because, in a lot of other countries, they would definitely be playing in this.
Is there any thought to looking back to past successful teams and saying, okay, well, we had a lineup that looked like this. We think that today, to this player today can maybe fit that guy's mold then? Or is, would this team kind of be created unique in its old mold?
No, I think for sure Hockey Canada always looks to the past. They look at the rosters of the past. As coaches, we look at past success. We'll look at Mike Babcock and his messaging and systems and what he did to win last time. I think the history of Hockey Canada is one of its greatest assets, and the people that have come up and been involved and won. So we'll lean on all those things as we move forward.
Pete DeBoer joins us, a longtime NHL coach. Pete, I want to talk a little bit about what you've seen as a transition in the NHL, specifically on the back end. I look back to your first year in Florida. Guys like Brian McCabe or Jason Cullimore, some bigger players that were, Nick Boynton, not what I'd call, fleet of foot in today's game. How have you seen that position evolve from then to now, where guys like Cale Makar are really essentially like the second center?
Yeah, you know what, the game changes, Jason, almost yearly, and I think that's why coaches have to in the off season, you know, try and stay relevant. Look at what the best teams are doing, and you know, you saw a real change in style of play. I think what happened was the coaching and the systems got so tight and so good, neutral zone traps and the 1-3-1. That there was little offense being created, and finally coaches started looking at unique ways that they could try and free up some space and find some more offense, and it started with the defenseman joining the rush. I mean, it goes back to Bobby Orr, but where it's gone to now is, you know, you're carrying, you know, at least five guys that you feel can join the rush and help out. And a lot of times on some of these teams, six, you know, when you look at Colorado, they've probably got six. I feel like in Vegas here, we have six, and they're hybrid defensemen. They can still crash and bang and knock you on your butt, but they all can get up in the play and they can all jump into those holes and try and create some room for other guys.
Has the conversation changed a little bit with the forwards? Because, you know, it's not like the D-men have the green light. Like, they are occasionally, it feels like they have it all the time. So do you need to talk to your forwards more to recognize that, you know, this guy might be dipping in here, and you either got to, you know, support him as far as, you know, backtracking if he goes in too deep? Or is that just something that they've seen and been used to?
No, for sure. Absolutely. I think now, as you're practicing every day, you know, your defensemen are activating in every rush you're having in practice, or you try to as a coach, and it becomes seamless, you know, where a forward sees a defenseman up ahead of him, he'll fill in for him. You really have to, with the speed of the game now and the type of pressure that everybody wants to put on each other, you really have to have interchangeable parts out there. And, you know, that means if a defenseman's up, a forward fills. If a centerman's not back, a winger plays low. You know, there's no way to play with the speed and pressure that everybody's putting on each other right now without that interchangeability.
One last one for you, Pete. You know, we're getting a lot of texts to ask about Mark Stone, and he is a unique player in the NHL because he's maybe not as no disrespect, maybe not as pretty as a guy like McDavid or Nathan MacKinnon, but very effective player. What, in your opinion, makes him, you know, such a good player with, you know, like I said, maybe not the most beautiful player on the planet?
Yeah. You know, I've had two players over my career that are a little bit in the mold of Mark Stone. You know, one was a great junior and NHL player, and Mike Richards was my captain and junior. Multiple Stanley Cup winner with the LA Kings, and Joe Pavelski, my captain in San Jose. You know, if you just had a skills competition in practice, I don't think any of those three guys would win it, or a skating competition. but you drop a puck in a game, and it's not very often they're not the best player on the ice on any given night that you're out there. They just have, it's a combination of IQ and competitiveness, and you know, all those intangibles just makes them real special players. And I think Mark Stone is one of those guys. You know, whether you're playing on an Olympic size ice sheet or, you know, a tiny sheet in the corner, you want him on your team, you know, if the game's on the line.
Pete, I just ask one favor there. When you guys are putting your list together of who you should think would be on the D-man, think of the guy who's maybe the fifth, sixth, seventh defenseman. Look at you know, how about a Brayden McNabb or a Slater Cook or Eric Branson? You know, they might not have to play, but boy, they'd be fun to be on the team, and you can bag skate the hell of them. They'd be as happy as can be. So be an advocate for that seventh defenseman that maybe isn't a traditional guy that they think of.
Yeah, like a young Jason Strudwick. Maybe wow. He can beat up somebody on the other team in the dressing room behind.
But my last one, I forget who the coach was. I were one of the GMs. I ran across it and said, please bring me. You can bag skate me every day. Do an out block every shot from Shea Weber. I don't care. I'll just want to be around there. So just put a good word in for one of those guys, Pete. Come on.
We We will. I got a soft spot for those guys. I got a soft spot.
Well, good luck with that team, and good luck with the Vegas Golden Knights. So you got a good team there. It'll be a fun season for you, I'm sure.
Thanks, Jason. Have a good one.